I'm going to go this morning to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel 17. Give me five. We're doing virtual five fives here, right? Okay, we good with that? That way, okay, five, five, five. We're gonna talk about five things today. Well, maybe really one, but we'll see how this goes. Okay, as they disperse, we can give you high fives out there. 1 Samuel chapter 17. A familiar story told in a whole new way, as always. As always. The Philistines now mustered their army for battle and camped between Succoth in Judah and Azekah at Ephedemon. Saul countered by gathering his troops near the valley of Elah. So the Philistines and the Israelites faced each other on opposite hills with a valley between them. So get the picture. The Philistines on one side, the Israelites on the other, and a valley was in between. So they were separated farther than 6 feet apart, just so you know. They were definitely separated from one another. But they were facing each other. Why? Because they hated each other. And they were at war with each other. So we have an enemy, and we have the people of God, if you will. Then Goliath, a Philistine champion from Gath, came out of the Philistine ranks to face the forces of Israel. One man comes out, Goliath, huge man. He was a giant of a man, measuring over 9 feet tall, slightly taller than I am. So, 9 feet tall. He wore a bronze helmet and a coat of mail that weighed 125 pounds, about what I weigh. I did say about. He also wore bronze leggings and he slung a bronze javelin over his back. The shaft of his spear was as heavy and thick as a weaver's beam, tipped with an iron spearhead that weighed 15 pounds. So the spearhead alone is 15 pounds. Big spear, big man, lots and lots of armor on him, and a huge spear ready to take on the Israelites and cause them harm. An armor bearer walked ahead of him carrying a huge shield. So in front of Goliath was this armor bearer with a huge shield. Obviously, it had to be almost 9 feet tall because really a shield would always protect all of the body. So consequently, that shield would be almost as big as Goliath because he would hide behind it to be protected. And his head would be out there, just to kind of give you a picture of that. Big man, big problem. Goliath stood and shouted across to the Israelites, "Do you need a whole army to settle this? Choose someone to fight for you, and I will represent the Philistines. We will settle this dispute in single combat. If your man is able to kill me, then we will be your slaves. But if I kill him, you will be our slaves. I defy the armies of Israel. Send me a man who will fight with me." So Goliath is challenging the Israelites to a big battle. And he's saying, just send me one of you. I don't need to defeat all of you. Just send me somebody, anybody, one person who's brave enough to fight me. When Saul and the Israelites heard this, they were terrified and deeply shaken. So Saul is the king at the time. He's the head of the army of the Israelites. He hears Goliath barking out that threat. And so Saul and the rest of the army becomes frightened hearing that. So when things threaten us, when somebody says something's going to do something bad to us, of course, the first response we have, fear very often. And this is exactly what happened to Saul and the Israelites. Now David was the son of a man named Jesse, an Ephrathite from Bethlehem in the land of Judah. Jesse was an old man at that time, and he had eight sons in all. Jesse's three oldest sons, Eliab, Abinadab, and Shammah, had already joined Saul's army to fight the Philistines. So obviously, those three sons were already amongst the Israelites, among the army, and the entire army, including Jesse's three sons, were afraid. just to kind of give you a backdrop here. David was the youngest of Jesse's sons. Since David's three oldest brothers were in the army, they stayed with Saul's forces all the time. But David went back and forth working for Saul and helping his father with the sheep in Bethlehem. So David's brothers are in the army. David is taking care of sheep, to kind of give you a picture. He's about 17 years old at the time, by the way. For 40 days, twice a day, morning and evening, the Philistine giant strutted in front of the Israel army. 40 days, morning and night, twice a day, Goliath struts in front of the army, scaring them, making sure that if they weren't afraid in the morning, which may have lasted all day, he made sure at night before they went to sleep, he scared them then. This is how fear works. This is how the enemy works. First thing in the morning to try to scare us, last thing at night trying to scare us, right? That's Goliath here, the enemy. One day, Jesse said to David, "Take this half bushel of roasted grain and the 10 loaves of bread to your brothers and give them 10 cuts of cheese to the captains. So see how your brothers are getting along and bring me back a letter from them." David's brothers were with Saul and the Israel army at the Valley of Elah fighting against the Philistines. So now they're in battle. So David left the sheep with another shepherd and set out early in the morning with the gifts. He arrived at the outskirts of the camp just as the Israelite army was leaving for the battlefield with shouts and battle cries. Soon the Israelites and Philistine forces stood facing each other, army against army. David left his things with the keeper of supplies and hurried out to the ranks and greet his brothers. As he was talking with them, he saw Goliath, the champion from Gath, the big bad enemy, 9-foot-tall guy. David is about maybe closer to my height, 5'7", 3". Okay, so 5'3"-ish, small compared to the largeness of Goliath. He could hear him shouting his challenge to the army of Israel. As soon as the Israelite army saw him, they began to run away in fright. "Have you seen the giant?" the men were asking. "He comes out each day to challenge us. And have you heard about the huge reward the king has offered to anyone who kills him?" David's ears perk up at this point, right? The king will give him one of his daughters for a wife, and the whole family will be exempted from paying taxes. That sounds like a great idea, right? David talked to some others standing there to verify the report. "What will a man get for killing this Philistine and putting an end to this abuse? And who is this pagan Philistine anyway that he is allowed to defy the armies of the living God? What enemy thinks that they can go against the army and the family of God? What enemy? Sure can try." And David received the same reply as before. "What you have been hearing is true. That is the reward for killing the giant." So now David's got an incentive, right? A reward. He can go from a shepherd to not having to ever pay taxes again. That'd be kind of a cool thing. Yeah. But when David's oldest brother, Eliab, heard David talking to the men, he was angry. "What are you doing around here anyway?" he demanded. "What about those few sheep you're supposed to be taking care of? I know about your pride and dishonesty. You just want to see the battle." You've got a big giant of a problem over here with Goliath, and his own brother is basically, you know, dissing him, trying to put him down, saying, "What are you doing here? You're nothing." "What have I done now?" David replied. "I was only asking a question." Little sibling rivalry there. He walked over to some others and asked them the same thing and received the same answer. Then David's question was reported to King Saul, and the king sent for him. Obviously, King Saul is thinking, well, there's somebody stupid enough that they think they're going to try to do this, right? That's probably Saul's mindset. "Don't worry about a thing," David said. "I'll go fight the Philistine." "Don't worry about a thing. I'll go fight the Philistine." Don't worry about a thing. I'll go out and do it. Whatever the problem is out there, I'll go face it for you. Don't be ridiculous, Saul replied. There is no way you can go against this Philistine. You are only a boy, and he has been in the army since he was a boy himself. So what is Saul trying to do right here to David? His brothers already are saying, who do you think you are? You're just a shepherd. And then Saul is saying, you're only a boy. You've never been in the army before. So he's already pointing out, Saul is pointing out David's limitations, right? And those of us that are around many times, we can see ourselves as small, insignificant, perhaps people that don't matter, we think, or sometimes we think we can't tackle a problem because it's bigger than us. And other people try to discourage us from even trying, no matter what it is. We need to be more like David, though, right? But David persisted. I have been taking care of my father's sheep, he said. When a lion or bear comes to steal a lamb from the flock, I go after it with a club and take the lamb from its mouth. I have done this to both lions and bears, and I'll do it to this pagan. For those of us that are believers and those of us that know God's power and have seen God work throughout our lives, no matter what comes our way, comes against us, when we are reminded of all the other times that God has stepped in for us, or we have been able to club away problems that we've had in our own personal life or in our spiritual life or in the life of the church or in the life of the world, no matter what it is, when we can be reminded of all the times we took care of the little insignificant things like a lion or a bear, for those of you that have ever tackled lions and bears, but when you care enough about the sheep, as a shepherd does, as the good shepherd Jesus Christ does, or as a shepherd, as a pastor, as I am, you're going to do whatever you can to fight for those sheep, no matter what. You put yourself at risk. And I think about the people right now that are nurses and doctors and all the caretakers right now who are out there caring for the flock because they've done it before in smaller ways, and now they're doing it in big ways. And God continues to show us that no matter how big or small the problem is, with God's power, we can conquer it. And we're here to help save people from the jaws of the enemy, the wolf, the lion, whatever it might be. We know that God will use his power in us to do that. But David's reminding himself of all the times he succeeded and how God succeeded with him and for him. And when we have that mindset, when we start to believe in all and know all the times that God has seen us through, when God's been faithful, as God always has been, we know that God will also continue to be faithful right here, right now, all the way into the future, always. He's been faithful in the past. He's faithful now in the present. He'll be faithful in the future. And no matter what we are facing, that the giants that we see in our life right now, doesn't matter how big or scary or how much it's shouting out and trying to scare us, God is more powerful than that giant. And we can be more powerful too, even though we're just a boy or just a girl or whatever we are that we think we're smaller than. Yes, by ourselves we can do nothing, but with God we can do anything because God's power is greater. He says, I have done this both to lions and bears, and I'll do it to this pagan Philistine too, for he has defied the armies of the living God. Verse 37, you might want to keep this and write this down in your Bible. Or keep it and write it down for yourself to read each day as we go through this pandemic, perhaps. The Lord who saved me from the claws of the lion and of the bear will save me from this Philistine, or this pandemic, or this problem, or this fear. The same God who saved me before will save me now. And even if he doesn't save me from death, he'll save me from death with eternal life. God will save us. God is a savior who saves us from those things. So Saul finally consented. All right, he said, may the Lord be with you. go on. You go ahead, take care of it, David. I'll be back here over here cowering. It's okay. He's stuck in fear. He can't help it. It's all right. He says, and may the Lord be with you. Praise for him. May the Lord be with you. Saul wasn't quite sure that the Lord would be with him, But at least he said, may the Lord be with you. Because he knew, Saul even knew, that it would only take God's power with David to conquer this Philistine. Then Saul gave David his own armor, a bronze helmet, a coat of mail. He gave him what he could physically. David put it on, strapped it, the sword over it, and took a step or two to see what it was like. He'd never worn such things before. He said, I can't go in these. You imagine Saul's a lot bigger than David for one thing, right? Somebody else's armor doesn't fit us. Somebody else's way of fixing things may not work for us. God's way will, however. He says, I'm not used to them. So he took them off again. And then, verse 40, which is where the sermon's going to go now, I think. He picked up 5 smooth stones from a stream and put them in his shepherd's bag. Then armed only with his shepherd's staff and sling, he started across to fight Goliath. So what's David going to fight this giant of a man who's all loaded up with all kinds of gear and all kinds of weaponry, 15-pound spear? What's David going to go after this guy with? A shepherd's staff to hold himself up, perhaps, because he's still a shepherd of the flock, right? He's showing, I'm still always a shepherd. I'm never not going to be a shepherd. I'm going to care for my sheep. That's a visual reminder to him and a physical reminder. God, I'm here to be a God's servant. And God's got me as a shepherd to shepherd the flock and take care of the flock, just like he's holding on to the shepherd's staff, which is what also Moses held on to, which, of course, Jesus was incarnate, the actual true good shepherd, right? So he holds a shepherd's staff, and he's got a little bag of 5 smooth stones and a sling. 5 smooth stones. So, of course, I studied about this since I had some free time this week because I wasn't out and about as much as usual. So I went ahead and did some studying on the 5 smooth stones and this verse 40 here. First of all, he goes into a stream. A stream is living water. It's moving water, right? So the first place he goes to get his weaponry is into the living water. Where do we get our weaponry? Where do we get our faith? Where do we get our trust? By stepping into the living water, the water that will always be with us, perpetual spring, as Jesus is. So we step into that stream. And then he picks up stones. Now, the thing about smooth stones versus rocky stones, which I would have probably wanted more something sharp. I mean, if I'm going to take on an enemy, I want it to like really hurt him kind of deal. But the significance of smooth stones is this. Each and every one of us, when we step into living water, we kind of start out rough, if you would. If you knew me before, Jesus, pretty rough around the edges for sure. Still a little rough around the edges as God continues to smooth me out. But being the fact that those stones were in that living water longer, all the rough edges were washed away. And so David, as a representative of God, he was also, even though he was 17 years old, he'd been with God a long time, a lot of his edges were smoothed out. And we know later on he continued to have to get smoothed out. And that we, as we grow in Christ, we continue to get smoothed out. But it's a smoothness, that a smooth stones are representative of the fact that when you are in the living water, all the rough edges around you fall away. And the word stone in the Bible, of course, is a significant word. Jesus Christ is the cornerstone, this church's cornerstone, because it's the strongest rock that's there. But the word stone in Hebrew comes from 2 words, Av and Ben, father and son. So that's the actual Hebrew word. So as David's picking up a smooth stone, what is he picking up? Father and son. Father and son. The number 5 is significant in Scripture. It's the number of strength and power, which is equal to the Holy Spirit. Whenever we talk about the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, the number 5 is always there. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. It comes from Isaiah 11:2, if you want to look that up. There are 5 books that Moses wrote in the Torah. There are 5 commandments in the Bible of how to love God. There are five commandments of how we are to love people. There's a fivefold ministry in the New Testament. Apostles, evangelists, teachers, pastors, and prophets. Fivefold ministry. And there's the word grace and the gospel and the anointing of the Holy Spirit are the five gifts that God gives. We also know that Jesus, when he was in the 40 days tempted by the devil, 40 days, 40 nights, kind of 40 days, 40 nights with Goliath threatening the Israelites, similar passages together. When Jesus was attacked by the enemy, Satan, with falsehoods of the scriptures, because he twists the scriptures and he puts out misinformation, and misinformation will twist up all the things of this world. So be careful what you're listening to. The truth is what we need to be listening to, the truth of God. But Satan twists the word of God even as Jesus was there in the wilderness. And Jesus was tempted 40 days, but he quoted from one of the books of the Torah. And he spoke from Deuteronomy, the fifth book of the Bible. Number five is important, is it not? So David, we know the rest of the story. I don't have to read the scriptures to you, right? We know what happens. He runs out. He runs out to go meet Goliath. And Goliath is like, what? This little boy, what's he going to do? And he takes that one smooth stone out of the five. What's that one smooth stone? Well, the stone of God, the stone of faith, the power of God, the fifth stone. One stone would be all it would take. Just one. And he takes it on and puts it in that slingshot. Now, a slingshot's not a very big weapon, just so you know. But when it's slung, it can go about 120 miles an hour. And it hits Goliath directly right in the middle of the forehead. And the Bible says that it's sunk in. So I guess what I'm trying to do is I'm preaching tonight, today rather, or this morning, whatever this is. Time is getting away from me. Let the word of God sink into you. Let the word of God sink into you. And what the word of God did, propelled through the power of God, slung into Goliath's head, knocked him down. So how are we going to defeat the enemy, Satan? Always is with the word of God. Because there's power in the word of God. If you only have one verse that you can commit to memory, that's your kind of go-to verse. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If that's your one verse, I don't know what verse you want to pick. There's a zillion of them in here, by the way. You pick one. You put it in your little shepherd bag, right? And if you need a stone, if you need the Father and the Son, and then the Holy Spirit comes to empower you, because we all have the Holy Spirit with us and within us. Whatever the problem is, and what I'd like to do, I know I didn't bring any stones this morning because I'm trying to keep as many people like still friends with me, even though they're at a distance with me. But when you think about if we all could pick up a stone of faith and sling it at this problem we're all facing, this giant of a problem we call the pandemic. It's giant. It's scary. I understand that. But if together we take the word of God and our faith and our confidence that no matter what we're facing against us, God is bigger than that. And the God that has saved us before is going to save us now. And so we throw the word of God at this problem. The giant falls down, right? And then we know that David picks up the sword, which is also the Spirit of God, and defeats the enemy. So I'm wondering what did David have that we need right now, all of us? He had confidence. He was courageous. He was calm. He was certain. And he had conviction. And he was equipped with all he needed, the power of God. So as we each face this giant of a problem and the many problems that go with it, because it's not just one problem. And the interesting thing about the other four stones that David had left over, Goliath had four brothers, by the way, who continued even after Goliath to go after his people and to go after David. So that meant that David had four extra stones left to knock out those four brothers, which of course he did. You'll see that in the book of Samuel as well. So we have to hold on to the one stone, the stone of faith, throw it at Goliath, this big problem we're facing. And for the other problems that come our way, we've got those other stones right in our pocket all the time to throw and knock down those problems as well. Prayer is a stone that all of us have right now. Sometimes it's the only thing we have. We have the Word of God. That's the second stone. We have the Holy Spirit. That's the third stone. We have each other in terms of our faith. When my faith is weak, your faith is strong, and vice versa. But we all have the same thing. We all have confidence in God, that God will see us all through this. So just remember this. Whenever you're faced with a problem, no matter what it is, because more problems may very well come in the future. I can't promise that they won't. We know that life, Jesus even said, in this world we'll have many trials and tribulations. But be of good cheer. He's overcome the world. Whatever it is. See, Jesus is our David. He came and conquered death, the thing that most of us fear the most, or did. But now we don't have to even fear that anymore because of Jesus Christ. So David was a precursor to Jesus. And Jesus came and he gave his life so we could have salvation and eternal life. And he defeated death. And he rose up in victory, which is exactly what we're going to do. So the stone I'm going to throw at these problems that I face and you face and we all face, I'm going to throw Jesus at it. He's light enough, we can pick him up. He's smooth as can be because he's so gentle. He is the living water that refreshes our soul. And he's also the power from on high that nothing, nothing, nothing could ever defeat. Nor will it defeat him now or us now as a result. Put your faith in Christ this day. And when your problem tries to scare you, you scare the wits out of that problem. Don't make me throw this stone at you. You better run, Satan. You better run, enemy. You better run, fear. Because I have faith and trust in God. Amen? Amen.